But joining us is Bob Henry. He is the former public relations officer back in 1979 when the fire happened at Northwest Missouri State University. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
And maybe just start out with when you first heard about this event, when it first started.
Well, that was kind of interesting. It had started out as a pretty good day and quickly gone into a bad day. I'd just come off the golf course where I'd had a terrible outing, and I had come home and was trying to clean up a little bit, and my wife shouted at me. She says, I think I hear sirens. And in those years when we heard sirens, my first thought was about the university, and hers also. And she and my two sons rushed out to see if they could see what was going on, because the sirens sounded close. And our street, Munn Street, headed straight up north into the university, and they went out there, and she could see smoke. And so she rushed back into the house and told me, and so I quickly cleaned up a little bit from my golf outing, and I came out and I saw, this was not a good sign. So I rushed to the university immediately. And by that time, there was activity around the administration building. It was obvious that from the smoke pouring out that we had a real problem. I didn't realize at that moment how big it was, but certainly from the little bit I saw and from the activity that was beginning to surround the building, I knew then that we had something more than just a minor fire.
Sure. And you weren't the only one to come in. I guess the community was involved. I mean, this really impacted everyone.
Yeah, that was one of the amazing things as the evening and night wore on. What the community got so interested in the building and Northwest, it was really a coming together. We often do that, but not quite so quickly. And the community, the students, the university students, the university faculty and staff, and the alumni all began to gather. And so in a way, it was sort of a midsummer homecoming.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. And what was the mood of the situation as people came in and saw what was happening? And you mentioned it did continue for hours.
Yes, it did.
As the hours drew on, what was the mood?
I think the mood was maybe a mixture of disbelief that this was happening to our building and fear. What was this going to do to the university? Because this was a major building, and, Northwest perhaps at that point needed support and wasn't always getting support from Jefferson City. And I think there was fear, will they, as it became obvious that this building was going to pretty much be gone. Ultimately, it was not all gone. About 60% of it was damaged. But I think there was great fear that we had lost something that would never be replaced.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of irreplaceables, I guess you were among several that eventually went in the first floor while this was happening.
I went in the first floor. President Owens was here at the time. He and I went in, and we tried to rescue a few things out of our offices, which adjoined. But the smoke was so bad, even on the first floor where we were located, that we couldn't stay very long. So from that point of view, it got even worse mentally. We knew that, this was a tragedy.
Sure. And then I understand at the time, Maryville didn't have a ladder truck. And then, of course, the fire started up in the rooftop of the building.
Yes, that was a very serious problem. There was no way to really fight that fire. We had standpipes within the building, but they hadn't been used in years, hadn't been flushed in years, and they didn't work very well. Some of them were plugged, and the firefighters that drug hoses up to the top of, would hook the hose up and turn the water on, and not much happened. So in a way, in the long run, this worked to the community's betterment, because this inspired, and I don't remember just where the money came from, I suppose it was tax money, but the purchase of a ladder firefighting truck, and this obviously was good for the community. Not very many things were good for the community at that point, but this showed the need. And also, because of the need for the fire truck with a ladder on it, when the fire truck from St. Joseph finally came that had ladder capacity and got up and could spray the east end of the building and ultimately did save that end of it, well, one thing played into the other, and we were certainly very thankful to have a neighbor like St. Joseph.
Sure. So they somewhat came to the rescue. The fire was eventually contained, I suppose, and no injuries.
None that I, well, I remember Dr. Leon Miller broke a finger. Okay. Helping to empty the building. And there was a lot of that going on. People were throwing student records out of second floor windows, both financial aid records and transcripts and that sort of thing for students. It all got out, and none of it got lost that I'm aware of, and nothing was really destroyed concerning student records. Now, there was a great deal destroyed on the third and fourth floors. The speech department had a hearing lab up there, and I guess that maybe was part of the cause, electrical failure up there. Of course, that was totally destroyed. KXCV, KDLX studios were totally destroyed. Many things were destroyed up on the west end. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember where I started with this conversation, but there weren't very many injuries that I can recall.
Sure. And then take us to, I don't know if it was later that night or the day after, but I guess there was a meeting, President Owens called it, and some famous words came out of that meeting.
Well, there are two meetings that come to my mind.
Okay.
One about 1 a.m. in the morning of the fire. He called a meeting of what he called, I don't remember what we called it, the Operations Committee, I believe it was, which in later years became the President's Cabinet. But he called a meeting of that group, and we met in his dining room at the Gaunt House. And we began to plan at that point. I kind of listened, while Vice President George English and others began to decide where we were going to move all of the things that had to come out of the administration building. Because we were in summer school, and classes had to go on. And they did a remarkable job using space available and moving classrooms and offices like the business office and financial aid and, whatever else was in the administration building. They moved it to space available around the campus. But the meeting, which I think you referred to, was at 8 o'clock the next morning in the Olive DeLuce building. And it was faculty and staff and whoever else wanted to come, and there were others there, of course, interested people. But Dr. Owens led the meeting, and at 8 o'clock or thereabouts, he said one of his first statements was, at 8 a.m., it's business as usual. Well, of course, it really wasn't, but no classes were missed. Every class met. By that time, Raleigh Stallman and his KXCV and KDLX people had borrowed equipment to get those two radio stations back on the air, and I think they were back on the air shortly after 6 a.m. the next morning. They borrowed a trailer from O'Reilly Brothers and put the equipment in that trailer, moved it out by the north of campus by the tower, and were back on the air. It was a remarkable feat that they did, and I don't think one class missed a session. I think everybody met someplace.
Sure. Now, as public relations officer, I'm sure you were involved in the aftermath the next few months. And you'd mentioned the concern about, hey, this is one building, but this is Northwest and the view in the state. But it turned out very well. How did that progress into changing the look of the campus?
Well, we quickly got an estimate from our architect, who was Homer Williams at that time, a former student at Northwest and a fellow who owned an architectural firm in Kansas City. He had been serving us in a number of ways, but he came up quickly with an estimate. How quickly, I don't recall, but it didn't take very long. He said to replace the administration building to its former condition would cost probably $15 million. Whoa, that's a bunch of money. And for us to go down and ask the state to pony up $15 million to restore the administration building didn't seem very logical to us. President Owens began to tinker around in his mind that we needed space to replace the space lost. We needed a new auditorium because what we called the Frank Deerwester Theater, a theater of about 1,000 seats, was totally gone. It had imploded. We needed something to serve the university from an auditorium point of view. We needed a new library. We knew that for a long time. Wells Hall, the building we're in right now, had served as the library, but it was antiquated, and we needed something much more modern. Well, out of all that, Dr. Owens began to put some numbers together, some ideas together. Homer Williams began to put some numbers together, and we came up with a plan within, it was a number of weeks before this could all happen, but we went, that's the editorial we, President Owens went to the legislature with a plan that called for $13.8 million. And if we could get that and we get our planning together, we could build a new auditorium, we could build a new library, we could renovate Wells Hall to replace academic space lost, and I'm forgetting something, but those were the major components of the recovery bill. Finally, it was presented the next spring to the General Assembly, and ultimately they approved an emergency appropriation of $13.8 million to do these things. And that really did change the environment on this campus. It took a number of years for it all to be accomplished, but it was there. We certainly got great support from Governor Teasdale. He had come on campus within 48 hours of the fire and promised aid, and in 2 weeks he came back, as I recall, with a check for $20,000, which doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it gave us money to start the planning process. Mm-hmm. Which we didn't have that money even to start the planning process at that time. So it was an exciting time, and I was happy to be a part of it.
Sure. So out of the ashes, you talked about the physical changes, but do you think it left a cultural impact on the university and even the Maryville community?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it merely served to reinforce how important the university was to the community. And I don't just mean Maryville. I mean Northwest Missouri. I think people realized, boy, we came really close to maybe losing something. And maybe losing, there was fear we might lose the university at that time. I don't know how realistic that fear was, but the fear, I think, was there. And from this experience of all banding together and asking for support and people calling their representatives in Jefferson City, our alumni played a major role because they are scattered all over the state, and they began to contact their representatives and their senators in Jefferson City, and that was very, very instrumental in helping us pass this emergency appropriations bill that we requested.
Sure. Well, Bob Henry, a former public relations officer during the time of the fire, and thank you for coming in and sharing your thoughts on this anniversary.
Doesn't seem possible. It's been 30 years. It has been, and thank you for asking me.